Good morning. It's too loud. Let's do a sound check while I'm here. Turn me down a bit. It's better. Well, good morning. I just want to encourage you in your journey of faith this morning as we talk through some passages of the Bible that I believe will speak to our hearts. But just as we've been worshipping this morning, one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of is that God is always working in our lives. And sometimes as believers, sometimes as long-term believers, those that have been on the journey for a long time, it's very easy for us to switch off from what God wants to do because we're thinking he's doing it for those that are just joining us, that God is setting them free, that God is doing works of transformation in their hearts and lives. But I want to remind you this morning that no matter how long you've been on the journey, God is interested in you. He wants to continue working in your heart and in your life, and he wants to continue setting us free from ourselves mainly. He set us free from sin. He set us free from all those things that seek to bind us. But the battle very often is with us. It's us that we're battling with. And God just wants to encourage you this morning by reminding you that he's involved in your life, that he's interested in you, that he loves you. And those things that you are facing day by day, he wants to set you free from them. He's working in you. And we've got to put our faith into action as we journey with him. And it's so easy to forget that. It really is. I know I have on numerous occasions. You just forget that God is interested in you. We work in our own humanity, our own thinking, and it just doesn't give God the opportunity to be God in your lives. One of the songs we sang this morning, the very first one, revealed to us why we are here. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you're here? It's one of the biggest questions we have in life. Why am I here? What is the point? What is the purpose of life? What is my mission? And I just want to talk to us about what your mission is, about your individual journey with God, your mission for life, and how you're going to work that out, and how it's going to enhance what we do as church. Well, I don't know, the same song. We've sang a lot of stuff this morning, some powerful words. But the church is the hope of the world. We believe that. We believe that as we've got God living in our lives, that we become a beacon, we become a light, we become a symbol or an example of hope when God is living in us. And so we become the hope of the world that we live in. We become the hope of our community, which is where we are based. We become the hope of our nation and the hope of the world as we demonstrate God working in our lives. And this morning, I just want to run through some very simple stuff that hopefully will just help you understand some of that, some of your journey as well, and how it all fits into what God has got planned for your life. I'm always talking to people. Whenever I talk to, if you come into my office and talk to me, assuming that you're not in trouble, I always point to the Bible and say it's in there. What we're talking about, what God wants us to experience, the freedom that he's got, the work he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives is all in his word. That's all right, Mark. There's always, well, I didn't say that, Kay, because I know you're one as well. So I always talk and they say, what we're talking about here, it might be a language that is modern, it might be understandable, it might make sense to us, but actually what we're talking about is in the Word. And it's important that we understand that everything that we teach from here, everything we encourage you to do, everything we do in our services is based around what we believe the Bible is leading us to in terms of our relationship and how we express it with Him. But the Bible gives us an insight into the character and values of God. Right from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, it carries a message of how God created us and wants to interact with us. He has plans for us from day one to the end of our time. God has got plans for our life, and he wants to be involved in that. He wants to be the catalyst for change, for freedom, for being used profitably in his kingdom. And we see, as we read through, the interaction between God and mankind and the struggles that we have trying to understand who God is and how he's trying to communicate to us and what he wants to do in our lives. I think that's our daily struggle. Many people outside of the church environment wonder who God is. They don't believe in him because they don't know him. Some people have never heard of him. And so we have this interaction with trying to understand God all the time. And in Timothy, it tells us this. All scripture is God-breathed. Okay, we believe that. We believe all scripture, not just bits here and there, but all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, which is what we're doing this morning. We're just talking about some stuff from the Bible. It's teaching us. Rebuking. We know what rebuking is. Correcting and training in righteousness. So the Bible comes as a complete unit, and all of it is useful for us. All of it teaches us something, or it shows us our behaviours are not lined up with what God has got for us in terms of attitudes and thought processes. So the Bible is a book that is a book of life. It's a manual, but it's a manual that teaches us every day how to live. It's a living book. So overall, the big picture, if you like, of the Bible is that it reveals to us that God loves us. He wants to set us free from the things in life that bind us up. He wants to create something of himself in each of us and involve us in his mission to share his love and his hope with the world. God never intended a divide between himself and humanity, but it happened. Sin separated us. Most of the Bible details God's mission to break into our lives. His commitment to this plan was that he sent his son to demonstrate a sinless life, to die and be resurrected and demolish the power of sin in the world. That's the Bible. He sent his son to die for us that we might have this relationship with him, where he can work in our lives and set us free from the things that really bind us in life, where he can give us hope when we have no hope, when he can give us instruction where there is no instruction, where he can give us love when we've never experienced love. He gives us a complete package when he comes into our lives. When we choose to follow Jesus, and it is a decision, it's a decision we make as an adult, I want to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit draws us to the truth that is in God. We can't work it out. God is God, and we can try to understand who he is and what he's doing, but we need the Holy Spirit working in our spirit to just bring that revelation of who God is in our heart so that we can go, I want to follow this God, because what I'm seeing really resonates with my spirit. And the moment we do that and begin our Christian journey, God begins to work in us and changes us to becoming more like himself. This is a lifelong process. And I don't know whether you ever get disappointed with yourself, but I do. Disappointed with myself, not you. We do. You can sometimes look in the mirror and go, that's rubbish. That was really poor, what you've just done. And we can get disappointed in ourselves. And sometimes that can lead to us giving up. But that's not the heart of God towards us. He works in us all the way through life. And it's good to understand that. It's good to know that when we get it wrong, God doesn't dismiss us. He doesn't exclude us. He gives us a way back. He gives us forgiveness so that we can once again begin this remarkable relationship with him. And one of the great things that happens when we become a Christian, when we choose to follow him, is that he plants stuff in our hearts. And we go, where's that come from? Why am I thinking that? Why am I feeling that? Why am I experiencing this thing? But he plants a desire in us to become active in our faith, to begin to do things, to begin to do something for God that we would never have done were we not a believer. So we're talking about actions here. We're talking about what God wants us to do in our lives. James 2 says this, but some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And so James is drawing our attention to the fact that there is a correlation between faith, between salvation, this relationship with God, and something that outworks in our lives, something that makes us different, something where we begin to do things that represent something of the heart, the character of God. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Zacchaeus. Some will know it, some won't. But Zacchaeus was a man that Jesus met. He was a tax collector. He was dishonest. He stole. He made a really good life for himself by being dishonest. He was a rich man. But he saw in Jesus something that attracted him, something that caught his attention, and he wanted to know more about who this Jesus was. And so Jesus went to his house for tea. He sat down with him, and he just talked to him. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God will sit down with anybody who's prepared to listen, no matter what their past is, no matter what they've done. Jesus will sit down with us and talk. And as the conversation was going, Zacchaeus, in his spirit, saw the truth of who Jesus was. And he became a follower of Jesus. He accepted that what God was trying to do, what he was revealing to him about who he was a reality. And he opened his life up to God. And he became a follower. And immediately, we saw a total transformation of his actions and his deeds, where he repaid everybody who he'd stolen from. Not just what he'd stolen, but four times what he'd taken from them. What a change of heart. That is an immediate change of heart. And that's how God is when he breaks into our lives. He begins to change the very core values that we hold. The very things that we do in life are transformed and turned around. And he empowers us to be completely different in the way that we live. Maybe you're struggling with some stuff this morning. Some of the old man, as we call him. Some of the fleshly man. But when God gets involved, when you let him work in your heart and in your life, he empowers you to be transformed so that you're somebody different and your actions are completely turned around and transformed. So our journey with God is a decision that determines our destiny. So how we journey with God determines where we're going to go with him. God has some great plans for our lives, and it's different for each one of us. God has got a plan for your life, and it's good always to remember that it's about you and him. It's not about you fulfilling what somebody else wants or somebody else sees, but you've got to work out what God is doing in your life. He'll take us to places we never expected. We'll experience things that we never expected to experience. We'll see transformations in our heart and in what we do that we never thought would be possible, but because God is working in us, they become possible. And I want to encourage you this morning to trust in God and try and see what he sees. Because when he looks at our lives, he doesn't see what we see. He doesn't see the disappointment or the failure or the bondage or the things that we're getting wrong. What he sees is you completed and fulfilling his mission for you. He sees a completed you at the end of the journey. And so looking at ourselves can sometimes mislead us in the way we understand ourselves. And this morning, allow God to encourage you to see what you can be with him living and working in your life. Because what he sees isn't what you're seeing right now. What he sees is amazing. And the greatest challenge in all of this is trusting God. Is actually, do we trust God to where he's taking us? Do we want to go with him? Do we want to serve him as he's calling us to serve, or do we just want to stay where we are and just make it through to the end? This is one of the most exciting verses I find in the Bible. We read in Joshua, and it says this. This is God speaking to the children of Israel as they were being taken from a place of captivity in Egypt to the promised land. So this is the journey they were on. And they were just setting off on this journey, and they're kind of going, well, where am I going? We don't know where it is. Show us where to go. And this is what God says. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. When God is involved in our path, changes, and we are being led into different places than we ever thought. And sometimes you kind of look at yourself and go, what am I doing here? Never been here before. I've never done this before. I've never experienced this before. And very often that is God taking us to where he wants us to go. In our own lives, we very often have aims and objectives. We have destinies that we want to follow. There's places we want to go in life. But sometimes we end up in places that we don't expect. And I believe that's God just rerouting where we're going. Never been here before? Or maybe it's God taking you on a different path. Maybe it's God breaking into your heart and into your life and beginning to transform your journey into something that actually reveals the purpose of why you are here. And I believe as our will comes into line with God's will for our lives, we begin to understand why we are here and what our purpose for life is. I want to look this morning in more detail at Moses, and many of us will know the stories around Moses. And I just want to look at the early part of his life, the starting point really of his journey of serving God. And I'm going to read. I sang a bit too loud, you'll have to excuse my voice. I've worn myself out, so we might finish early today. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he had led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good place and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians were oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So here we have Moses, who was in his 80th year at this point. He'd been in Egypt for 40 years. He'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. He was a shepherd leading his flock. He was in the far side of the desert on Mount Horeb, and God broke into his life. He was just doing the ordinary things that he was doing every day, and God broke into his life. His life up until that point had been one of plenty because he lived in the courts of Pharaoh, and one of lack as he came to live in the wilderness as a shepherd. And it was all preparation for what God wanted to use him for. Moses just didn't know it. And our past can often feel a little bit like that. It can feel like I've wasted my life. The things that I have done, I've not profited anybody. What was the point in all that stuff? But God sees our past differently than we do. And the experiences that we face, the experiences that we've been through, actually give him something to work with. They're preparing us for what God calls us to do. And he can use our past for his glory. No matter what it was, God can use it for his glory. He turns whatever we consider failure into his success. And through his life, the character of Moses has been shaped. And when he was ready, God spoke to him about mission and purpose. And if you sat here this morning wondering what life's all about, maybe this is an opportunity for God to speak into your life, to break in. Forget the past. God can always use that. He can take hold of it and he can make use of it. But don't allow your past to stop your future with God. So God had heard the plight of the Israelites. They needed someone to lead them to freedom. And God began talking to Moses about that. So God was talking to Moses because he wanted to use us. He wanted to use us in his purpose. See, God can do anything. If we understand who God is and we believe that he is almighty, all powerful, that he can do anything, then he can. And he can do anything he wants, but he chooses to use us. He chooses to use you and me to fulfill his plans. He wants to share his success with us. He wants to share his values with us. He wants to share the reason why we're here, our fulfillment in life. He wants to share with us. He's demonstrated through us, his creation. It says in Ephesians 3:10 that he displays the manifold wisdom of who he is through his church, through us. He demonstrates who he is through us. And so as we begin to walk with him, he demonstrates himself in our lives and we become that shining beacon to everybody who we come into touch with. God saw in Moses a man who had the heart to take on the role. He saw something in Moses that he recognized could be the man. And often he looks at us and he goes, you are the man, you are the woman for what I'm calling you to do. We just have to learn how to trust God in this journey. Often, we object to what God wants us to do. I don't know whether you've ever experienced that. But the rejection, the objection is not rejection of God, but very often it's what we see in ourselves. We don't see ourselves as being able or capable of doing what God's calling us to do. And so this is where the faith element, this is where the trust element comes in. We sometimes hear the call, we hear God speaking to us, but because of our own understanding about who we are, we reject what God is calling us to do because we can't see in ourselves how it's going to happen. And the key for any walk with God is faith. Trusting that God will supply what we lack, what we need. Trusting that he will always have our back. And the Bible, as we read through it, is full of God's promises and provisions for those who moved in faith. If you read in Scripture, as these men and women moved in faith, God gave them what they needed to fulfill their calling in life and to fulfill God's will and purpose here on earth. So God got Moses' attention through a burning bush. I don't know whether he's ever got your attention or he's got it this morning, but God is always trying to get our attention. He's always trying to have that moment where he reveals who he is to you and you can miss it. I suppose Moses could have done. He could have walked past and just ignored the burning bush. But in that moment, there is something about the situation that caught his attention and he gave his attention to God. So are you looking for God? God's always looking for you. He never stops. He never stops working, does he? Even when we don't see it, he's working. He's always looking and calling us. Sometimes it's difficult to know when God is speaking to us because we don't get burning bushes in Denton. We might get the odd car fire, a burning car, or something like that. But we don't get burning bushes as we're walking down the street, so it's a different environment. We've got to look for something different. So we have to learn to listen with spiritual ears to recognize when God is speaking to our heart. And that can be through listening to somebody speaking, somebody preaching. It can be through reading the Word of God. That speaks to our heart. It gives us direction. It can be through just praying or meditating about who God is. It can be other people that kind of bring something of God's will and purpose to you, and you've got to weigh that up. But God is always trying to break into our hearts. And for some of us, that is easier than others to let God into our hearts. Often we shut the door. We don't let him in. Sometimes because we don't understand, and sometimes because we don't want to hear what he's got to say. That's up to you to work that one out. Many years ago, one or two people began talking to me about ministry, about becoming a pastor, and I said, I'm not, and those that you know me will know that I'm not very good with people. I'm not great. I'm not overly compassionate. I thought I can't work with people. There's no way that's going to happen. And so I was looking at myself and going, God can't use that. Therefore, I'll just put that to one side. And I don't want to do it, really. So that's what I did. So he began speaking to me, and I began to recognize God was speaking to me, but I didn't like what I was hearing. I didn't like where he was taking me, and so I just had to lay it down and carry on with my life, feeling not particularly fulfilled or not particularly fulfilling the purpose that God had for me. So I don't know whether you've ever experienced that. People have kind of suggesting things, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and into your life. And it's very easy just to look at your own abilities and just switch off and go, that's not for me, I'm just making that up. Revisit it. Let God speak again freshly into your heart. So God began speaking to Moses and telling him what he wanted to do with the children of Israel, how he was going to set them free, how slavery was going to be a thing of the past, and they were moving to this promised land. He was going to relocate them, and it was going to be a wonderful place for them to live. And I suppose Moses thought to himself, that sounds quite good, really, that. And then it says, I'm sending you. And that's when we get the battle with self. The moment that God said to Moses, it's you, and that's in verse 10 of the chapter that we read. So now, go, I am sending you. And that moment, Moses had a real crisis of personality, of purpose, and his life kind of flashed before him as God began speaking to him. And Moses' reaction was probably the same that we would have. What? You're sending me? Do you really know me, God? Do you know my abilities? Do you know what I can do? Do you know my weaknesses? And God goes, I'm sending you. And that's a really important point in our journey with God, is how we respond to that. God reassured Moses that he would be with him. And then he began this discourse with God. Who shall I say is sending me? If I go to Egypt and I talk to the leaders of the children of Israel, how will they know to trust me? What shall I say? Who's sending me? And he said, well, you're going to say, I am the God, the Yahweh, he's him that has sent me. But Moses was still fearful about God, what God was calling him to do. And God began to encourage him again. And Moses said, look, I've got nothing, I am nothing, I can't do this thing that you're calling me to do. And God says, what's in your hand? Now, Moses was a shepherd, and as a shepherd, he would have a stick, a rod. And so he said, I've got this, that's in my hand. And God chose something familiar, something of everyday usage that Moses would have had. And he did something miraculous with him. He said, throw it on the floor, and it became a serpent. And when he picked it up, it became a rod. He said, now put your hand inside your tunic, which he did. He brought it out, and it was leprous. And he put it back in and brought it out, and it was completely restored to health again. He began to demonstrate his power to Moses. He began to demonstrate who he was. And God is always trying to demonstrate who he is in our lives. He's always trying to demonstrate his power working in us. And this is one of the principles that we always use here in service for God. We always say, what have you got in your hand? God's calling you. What have you got in your hand? What does that mean? What is your passion? What is your life experience? What is the thing that you can bring to God that he can use in service for him? And this is immensely freeing, because it means we can come to God as who we are and just offer God who we are so that he can use us in his service. We don't need any particular skills. What God was asking Moses to do was what he thought was beyond his natural ability. God was just going, what have you got? Let's use that. And sometimes God speaks to us like that. What have you got? What have you got? Well, you know, I've just got this thing. I'm passionate about whatever it is. Well, let's use that then. Let's use that as our starting point in our service for God. So Moses had experienced this miraculous working with this, his hand and the rod. And he still wasn't having it. Even after this, Moses was reluctant to respond and said he wasn't very good at speaking with people. He wasn't eloquent enough for the position. He was the wrong man for the job. If I stand before Pharaoh or the leaders of the children of Israel, I won't know what to say or how to say it. And Exodus 4:14 says this. God wasn't happy. God got a little frustrated with Moses at this point. And he can get frustrated with us, because we have a reluctance sometimes to do the things that God is calling us to do. But the great thing about this is that God still didn't discard Moses. So he had another plan. And he talked about his brother Aaron, who was quite eloquent. He was a good speaker. And he would represent Moses to Pharaoh or the children of Israel's leaders. He would go with Moses wherever he went. But Moses still had to be the one that took responsibility. He had to be the leader. He was the one called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And even after all this discussion with God, God still trusted Moses. He still stuck with Moses. He still had the same plan for Moses, but offered him an alternative way of fulfilling his calling. Often when we read the Bible or look at what other people have achieved, we see success and blessing in their lives. We can often feel inadequate, ill-equipped, or not good enough to do the things that other people are doing. But that's not faith. Faith is trusting God that when he calls us to do something, he will give us what we need. He will train us. He will equip us in our work for him. The key to this is faith. It's trusting God. God is calling me to do something. I can't see it myself. I don't get it. I don't think I'm equipped, but I'm going to trust God to get me to where he wants me to be. And with Moses, that's how it was. He trusted God. And he did lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He did lead them to the promised land. He never went into the promised land, but he led them into that place where they were ready to go. So the story of Moses, it reminds us that God uses people. He doesn't need to, but he does. So the people he uses are you and me. This is his resource in this church. This is who he's going to call to be the hope in this community. It's us. God can use us no matter what our past has been. Sometimes we can dismiss ourselves from God's service because of things that have happened or things that we have done. But that isn't the case. God can use the things that we have done, that we have experienced in his service for our calling on our lives. We have to recognize when God is speaking to us. We all lead very busy lives. We almost never stop from morning till night. And sometimes it's difficult to hear what God is saying to us, but we've got to learn to listen to what God is speaking. And sometimes he asks us to do things that are beyond our capabilities. We can't do that. But God equips us. God gives us what we need. And God always looks at what we've got. That's always our starting point. What have you got? Let me encourage you in the things at which you can do, which is what God did with Moses. And sometimes even when we show a reluctance beyond that, God won't reject us. He'll always find a way of using us in his service. But for him to use us, we've got to be in a place of commitment to what he's calling us to. Understanding that he places something in our hearts, in our lives, when we begin this journey that is beyond what we can imagine or think. He doesn't want us to remain as we were. He came to set us free. He came to take us out of this cave and set us free so that we could run for him and do things that are beyond our abilities and just bring glory to him. So this morning, be encouraged in your walk with God. No matter how long you've been on this walk, God can still use you. He always wants to use you. No matter what objections you've got, he can still use you. Doesn't matter what abilities you've got, because he can give you new abilities. We are a new creation when we come to him, and he recreates us, and we can do things that we never thought were possible. I never thought what I'm doing now, sort of the minister of this church, was ever possible. I didn't want to do it. I found every excuse under the sun not to do it, but I'm doing it, and it just amazes me that God has just given me what I need to do this. And it's the same with you. Whatever he's calling you to do, he will equip you to do. You'll find out then what fulfillment in life is, because when we walk with God and do his calling, it just fulfills us in life, and we understand why we're here. So if you want to know why you're here, engage with God. Let him speak into your heart and into your life this morning. Thank you.